pedagogy beyond disciplinary and institutional borders. So Vivian?
Yeah, thank you so much. So this is a fairly ambitious title, recognize that. This is both my work and also a bunch of co-authors. And we are a group of graduate students, extension professionals, and professors, all of whom are trying to work around some questions on how we can move agronomic pedagogy forward and really what kind of program we want to have from that graduate student perspective. So we're going to be talking a little bit more of a fledgling project in its initial stages and getting some feedback, hopefully, from you folks about where we can go with this. So, first, I'm going to start kind of broad, big picture with agronomy in the 21st century. So agronomy at the department that I am part of at the University of Minnesota, which is where all of the authors are based, the goal of the agronomy department is to increase efficiency, reliability, and profitability of crop production. And this has led to significant gains in commodity production. This has also more recently led to innovative management strategies. It's mostly a set of fairly closely related scientific disciplines that have done this work. However, agronomy in the 21st century is now needing to contend with these major challenges, which I'm going to call wicked problems. And I'm going to go into a definition of that, because that is what the group of authors joined together to start talking about, are ways to address wicked problems. A few of them are listed here, and let's talk a little bit about what that means. So the way that our group defines wicked problems is by three main parts. In uncertainty, the first part is this contested problem formulation. So thinking about soil quality as a wicked problem, you can't say exactly what the problem is. What is soil quality and how is that different to a farmer versus a urban city dweller, or for animals who are working on the soil? Is labor disputes in California related to soil degradation or not, and where do you draw the lines of those problems? So it's not clear exactly what those problems are, and that's a definitional part of wicked problems. There's also multidimensional complexity. There is not one single solution. A solution for a row crop farmer, a horticultural versus a almond grower, they're responses to soil degradation are going to be very different, and those are different from non-agricultural producers. And then these multiple stakeholders. So what does it look like to address these problems from different people's perspectives, and who wins out and who gets heard is a contested space, and it is also one in which there will always be multiple stakeholders. So keeping this definition in mind, agronomy has expanded to what we broadly call agroecology. Our program at the University of Minnesota has a focus on agronomy and agroecology. Many programs either have agroecology as part of their program name, so University of Wisconsin has an agroecology program. There are interdisciplinary working groups at the University of Minnesota, many other places as well, to address these questions, to get people from different departments to address these multiple stakeholders, to address the uncertain problem formulation. There's also been a big move toward more experiential and participatory projects. And I would say that Extension is sort of on the vanguard of this, about really involving non-academic stakeholders. This has also been done internationally on agroecology master's program. Up here, the University of Vermont has an international agroecology short course where they're training students in agroecology. And so there are various ways in which different programs have tried to expand the educational options for graduate students to learn how to address these wicked problems, which is what our group of authors has been thinking about. However, these come with some potential limitations. So a lot of times these interdisciplinary working groups, while interdisciplinary, a biologist and a chemist working together is very different from a biologist and a philosopher, or a social scientist working with a natural scientist. There's also a lot of times an unchanged premise of inquiry, which by that I mean that a lot of times people are still trying to get back to increasing the yield of commodity crops for production. And while that is an important piece of agricultural production, it is by no means the only question that should be asked. Also, with these experiential and participatory projects, there's often minimal training, and this is exactly where this group of authors came together. We originally were a reading group to learn how to do more participatory research. So we wanted to figure out how to do research with farmers, and found that the only way to do it was to form our own reading group and to read those papers and to talk to each other about it, because there was no expert who could share that knowledge with us. It is also the case that in a lot of participatory projects, there's still a mostly one-way transfer of knowledge. A lot of times the university is creating knowledge and then sending it out to farmers, and in my own work with farmers, it is the case that one of the main issues that they have with working with the university is that they feel like the university is bringing them knowledge but not actually incorporating or valorizing the knowledge that they want to bring to academic stakeholders. Also, we have individually motivated projects, so a single student may be able to do this, but with limited funding and limited infrastructure. So with that, this leads us to two main questions that our group has been thinking about. So how do we approach question formation beyond disciplinary borders, beyond the traditional agronomy aspect of these questions? And what training do we need as graduate students to go out into the world as trained agroecologists to responsibly and effectively engage these stakeholders beyond institutional borders? And that leads to our fledgling vision of what we think about. So this is moving agronomy to agroecology. So we've expanded this bubble. We are now including beyond the science of crop production into the ecology of food systems. And really, I would argue, a more tripartite system, thinking of agroecology as not just a science, but a practice and a movement as well. And then incorporating these participatory research methods, which have been used outside. They've been used outside of agronomy and agricultural production. These have been used to great effect in education and for decades and far back in emancipatory research, a lot of it in the global south. And then the parts that we believe still need to be infused into these programs are both politics and critique, which are two very vague terms, and let's talk a little bit more about those. So politics first. The type of politics that we believe are necessary to train graduate students in is a relational politics. So first, politics sounds sort of like just like a buzzword, makes people think of partisan politics or protest or advocacy, but really politics is just paying attention to the roles of people in agriculture. If you have two people and they both have needs and they're talking to each other, that is a political interaction. And if we ignore that, then how do we actually know how to have those interactions? So the type of politics that we believe are necessary for graduate students to learn is a relational politics. And this is an interaction of people, not to convince each other that one person is right, not to protest what the other person is doing, but the engagement of citizens characterized by mutual knowledge. You have to listen to each other. This means university listening to non-university. This means students from one department listening to another, different ways of knowing, and mutual influence. You have to be willing to be influenced by these people from outside of your discipline or your sub-discipline working together. So this is the type of relational politics training that we believe graduate students need in order to be effective in addressing wicked problems. And then on the other side, critique. This comes from inspiration from the integration of critical theory into other disciplines, such as critical geography and political ecology. And this gets at the question of the fact that students with relational politics, with this agroecological knowledge, with these innovative management strategies, will know how to address problems. But how do they know what the problems actually are? How do we get at that question formation, that contested not knowing exactly what the problem is? So the theory, movement, and practice of agroecology is informed by critical theory, and this will allow graduate students to get competency in addressing the foundational questions of who gets researched, which voices are heard, where are the difficulties in creating a relational politics? How do you get onto an equal level of power in order to have mutual influence? And what are these historical and political trajectories that affect the systems that are currently in place? So the way that we are thinking about this is a proposal to integrate all three aspects into the existing applied plant sciences program at the University of Minnesota. So first, starting with this practice, we want to have students have the option of engaging in a participatory research model. These are team-based projects. This is within existing programs, so there's the Forever Green Initiative that is working on alternative cropping systems in Minnesota. There are interdisciplinary systems that are working with urban outreach centers on food systems work, and there are other groups, there are extension groups that are also working on very participatory projects, and we want students to be able to do that either as part of their thesis or as some part of a class or something to actually get that experience on participatory research. That will address this practice side. We want to add to that a training seminar in relational politics. What is relational politics? How do you do it? And this will affect how that practice in the participatory research is done, and will also allow people to critique the research that they were doing, that they are doing. And then this will be further supplemented and really contextualized by critical theory, which we believe sort of forms a third dimension to contextualize the research. And this will be a modification of an existing course in the graduate program on agroecology and systems thinking, and then also an interdisciplinary research methodology, which we've played around a little bit and sort of exists at a couple of different and a couple of different subdisciplines, a class kind of like this, to get people to think about how do different disciplines approach question formation, and what does that question formation mean to other disciplines, and how can people from these various disciplines come together to find a more equitable way to approach this, and then having all of that question formation be built on participatory research models where outside of these institutions influence is coming in, and those questions are being informed by non-academic stakeholders. So all of this comes together in this synthesis piece in the middle. The way that this is conceptualized is that this will be a cohort of students who take these classes together and who work on these projects together as much as possible, but come together importantly to discuss how this process is going, because without reflection on the process, it's really hard to integrate all of this, because it does go beyond the traditional agronomic pedagogy that many students will be used to from their earlier agronomic training. So the synthesis piece of an ongoing cohort seminar will be very important. And this gets back to wicked problems. So not to say that critical theory only addresses uncertainty, they address all three. Critical theory will also address this multiple stakeholder and multidimensional complexity. Participatory research models in order to figure out how to address these questions, and relational politics of how do we actually engage these stakeholders. So with that, I just want to conclude with thinking about some thoughts. So strengths of this proposal are that there is student demand. So some of the other authors are here in this room. You're welcome to ask all of us questions about that. But this is something that people have wanted. Professors who research more agroecological participatory processes are being flooded with applications from students who want to be advised by professors like that. Students are looking for those kinds of programs because people are recognizing that these wicked problems of 21st century agriculture need to be addressed, and they want to understand how to address them. We also believe that by putting together theory and praxis and avoiding sort of the paralysis that you can get of theory, we can move this forward. And by reducing transactional costs, by implementing this in an existing program, we can make it more accessible. However, of course, there are challenges, both practical and political, getting buy-in, and also it's important that we take a step back and in implementing this that we keep in mind what the stakes are at. So whose agroecology are we really working toward? Is this a movement for more participatory research? It's not really just about graduate students. This is about addressing wicked problems, about elevating the voices of people who haven't been heard, and about trying to move forward in creating a more just and inclusive food system. So with that, these are my funding sources. This is the class that we started thinking about these things from. My lab, who has been instrumental in thinking about this, and then my farmer collaborators on the cover crop research that I am sort of trialing all of this out on. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivian. We would have time for a question for Vivian here. Someone has a question here.
Like how
it. Anything that was a particular topic that you saw an immediate potential breakout process?
It's so much larger scale that at every point you're addressing a small slice of this. So I work on summer cover crops. Summer cover crops in vegetable systems, mostly in organic production. So like narrowing it down. That's still getting at this problem of worldwide soil degradation. So my research, if I think about it just as how am I making sure that this summer cover crop is profitable for this farmer to do in this season, that is at a different scale than thinking of how can I work with this farmer to make sure that this cover crop is feasible in his livelihood or her livelihood. How do I make these cover crops and this technology useful to smallholder agriculture throughout the world, which forms a large part of the world, and being able to think about sort of that scaling in and out as you're working on these problems will potentially make it so that my research actually can have more applicability, but also be more cognizant of the world in which it exists, and therefore addressing the material conditions of the farmers with whom I am working instead of treating them as an object of research or as a recipient of research. Does that kind of answer your question?
No, that's a great answer.
Very good. Thank you, Vivian. Mm-hmm.